All right. Thank you, Pastor Josh. It's been great getting a chance to meet many of you and to be able to share with you Friday. And hoping to meet some more of you later on during the fellowship social time. And to be able to share with you the Word of God right now. I know that you've been talking about high fidelity, being able to translate the music of Christ into our lives. But before that, you need to make sure that your tuner, your reception, is dialed into the right channel. And what is that channel? We'll be taking a look at that today. That channel is the cycle of love. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for offering yourself, your love to us. Thank you for this congregation, Lord Jesus, that has gathered to worship you and wants to hear you and know what you want for them, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, you will clearly speak about how much you love them and what you want them to do in return to extend your love to others. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was 25, I was going to church. I was very much involved. I was in the choir. We would do musicals, all that kind of stuff, drama. And yet, honestly, at that time, my life with God was completely dry. I was not interested in spiritual things. Even though I went to church regularly every Sunday, but my heart was everywhere else. You know what I looked forward to after Friday fellowship? Just hanging out, you know, with my homeboys, eating pizza. That's all that I was looking forward to. And yet I was going to church all the time. You see, I believed everything about, you know, the gospel, Jesus, and all this. But inside, I didn't care. I was dry. Do you feel like that? Maybe that's where you are at in your life. And even if you aren't there now, maybe one day there will become a time where you're stuck in a spiritual rut and you're just going to church and it's just a routine. Well, today we'll be looking at how to get out of that rut. We'll be looking at the cycle of love and 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. And we won't be using PowerPoint today. So we'll be looking into our Bible. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. And before we begin looking at the passage, I want to talk a little bit about 1 John. The writer, of course, is John the apostle of love. And what John was writing, the reason he wrote was he was basically very concerned about the churches that he was pastoring in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And there was a form of false teaching, a heresy, known as Gnosticism, where the teachers would say you needed a special kind of knowledge or gnosis in order to access God. And, of course, only they had this gnosis or knowledge. But John went to combat that. No, there's no special kind of knowledge. This knowledge of God is open and everywhere through Jesus Christ. And through his writing in this epistle, we find very openly, no secret, no gnosis, the cycle of love, which will help us to get out of our spiritual rut, to get back that passion and excitement for God. And basically in this cycle, there's three arcs. And the first arc that we'll look at is here in verse 16. And that is to experience the love of God or to continue or keep experiencing the love of God. Let's look at verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. What I want us to focus on is the contrast of tenses. And here in verse 16, you have two different tenses. You have what's called the perfect tense, and then in contrast to that, the present tense. And John uses this for a purpose, to contrast the first two verbs with the last two. And let me read to you what's in the perfect tense. Now, this is going to be like a quick grammar lesson review. But the perfect tense is where an action of a verb is completed sometime in the past with its results available in the present. Right? So when you look at verse 16, you could translate this, again in the perfect tense, these first two verbs, and so we have known and have relied on the love God has for us. That's in contrast to the present tense of the verb has. And in the Greek, the present tense often has what's called a durative or progressive sense. So you could translate it this way. And so we have known and have relied on the love that God keeps having for us. It's continuous. It doesn't stop. It's in contrast to the fact that we've known and have relied. God's love, on the other hand, keeps on going and continuing for us. In the second part of verse 16, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. That's also in the present tense. So whoever keeps living in love, right, keeps living in God and God in him. The whole emphasis is on this continual experience of the love of God. And we need that, to know that God continually loves us. Because one of the reasons why I dried up in my life and I didn't care, and I wasn't passionate for God anymore, was because I no longer heard that God loved and cared for me. The church where I went to, the pastor would only emphasize that God loved me, or God loved us at the cross, that his love went to us at the cross. And when he gave invitations, oh, it was so appealing, it was so attractive. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And oh, so many people would walk to the front and accept the Lord. But after that, the message of love stopped. It was Jesus loved you and went to the cross. Now what are you going to do for Jesus? How are you going to serve him? How are you going to serve the church? And that's the only message I got for years. And as a result of that, my spiritual life inside just dried up, sucked out. Because why? I no longer heard or felt that God loved me. And we all need to sense that we're loved. When I was a guest speaker at a retreat, at a youth retreat, I remember this girl. She came up to me and shared with me a little bit about her life. She said, when I was a little girl, I went into my kitchen one day and I grabbed a big long knife. I was getting ready to plunge it into myself to end my life. But something stopped me. Something stopped me. So I said to her, her name was Michelle. And I said, Michelle, I think you know what stopped you, don't you? And she goes, yeah. You know, God stopped you. And she said, the reason I wanted to end my life was because I didn't sense that my father loved me. So I told her about a father who did love her. God, who sent his own son, Jesus, to die for her. And I said, would you like to know this father? Would you like to know this love, Michelle? And she said, yes. And so that day, we prayed, and she invited Jesus Christ to come into her life and gave her heart over to the Lord. And when she finished, her face was glowing. And I asked her, how do you feel, Michelle? And she said, I feel loved. I feel loved. That's what happens when you come to the Father. But it doesn't just stop there when you accept Christ. It continues today for you. God loves you now. And he would die for you again if he had the chance. Do you know that? Are you aware of that? The first part of that cycle is to keep experiencing God's love. And the second part of that cycle is that we need to go in complete love, to have the right then approach to God. Let's look at verses 17 to 18. In this love, love was made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. The perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. I'm going to take a look at two words here. The first word is, in verse 17, confidence. Okay, that word in the Greek is parasin. And this word also has the connotations of the confidence or boldness when you hang out with your friends and you can be yourself, who you really are. You know, let your hair down, for those of you that do have hair. Hey, relax, and you know, you're not afraid. And the second word that I want to look at is in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. That word there in the Greek, kalosin, was used in the sense of describing a punishment where part of your body is cut off. So taken together, all right, confidence and punishment, we can approach God like our friend, like I was saying to the youth group, like he's our BFF, our best friend forever. And you can be who you are. You can say, it's like when you're with your BFFs, your best friends, right? You can joke around, you can say things with them that you wouldn't say to anyone else, right? Things that you wouldn't say here necessarily in front of Pastor Josh or something like that. You would say to your friends. You're very comfortable. And you can do that without being afraid. They're going to cut off your friendship or anything like that. That's how we should approach God. Not fearful that he would cut us off. That we can be who we really are. Confidence and boldness. That's completing love. So many people, they have this funny theology of how God really is. You know, they think he's big meanie up in the sky, ready to zap people if they do anything wrong, right? They think of him like a bad teacher. You guys ever had a bad, mean teacher in your classroom? I remember we were sharing Friday, and one of the brothers there was talking about the bad teacher that he had. And I remember a bad teacher that I had. And it was in seventh, eighth grade. It was in middle school. I went to a private school. Her name was Sister Daniel. She was big, huge. And she dressed all in black, black habit. She had this black hood. And I guess the best way to describe her is she was like Darth Vader. But a woman. Yeah. And the really scary part of it was that you could actually see her face. And I was like, and oh, we would cringe. All the students would cringe. When she walked in, it was like we got up, good morning, Sister Daniel. And you know, she said, good morning, class. Then we could sit down, and oh, you're on the edge of the seat. And you know, if she got mad at you, you know what she would do? She would say, you make me worry, and whoosh, actually slap you. And even the class bullies were afraid of her. And these class bullies were afraid of no one. You know, these guys are ruthless. These class bullies, you know what they'd do? During recess, they'd make us bow before them to acknowledge their power over us. Right? And I remember one time it had been raining, but then, you know, sky cleared up. We had recess, and so we were out in the schoolyard, and they had mercy on me. They let me kneel and bow at a dry spot. That's how these guys were. And one of these class bullies went and she started talking in the middle of math class. I mean, the most foolish thing. And Sister Daniel busted him, caught him talking. And she went up to him, and with her open palm, she went to his head, you make me worry. His head just went like that. Oh, and when I saw that, I felt so good? I was saying to myself, you go, sister. Okay, I wasn't a believer back then. So, but you know, honestly, even if I were a believer, I still would have felt good. But, oh, she was so scared. And sometimes we think God is like that, you know, ready to whack us. You make me weary. He's not like that at all. Instead, he's more like another teacher that I had. His name is Mick Borsma, one of my seminary profs. And Mick was so awesome. When I first went to his class, first class I went to, you know what he said? Some of you may be concerned with grades, but I want to let you know that you're all starting off with an A. You all get an A. You don't have to work for it. You're going to have to work to lose it. I think, what? Wow. I mean, this goes against my ethnic conditioning. You know, I said, what? Get an A, don't have to work for it? This Asian man does not compute. After a while, I got it. And I was so appreciative of that. But you know what? I didn't slack off in that class. I worked even harder for Mick than my other professors because I appreciated what he was doing. He was showing us literally the grace of God. And that's how God is. We can approach him just like as if he were Mick. Always so easygoing. He gives us the A through the Son, Jesus Christ, his righteousness. He gives that to you. And actually, we can't even work to lose it. We must not be afraid that God's going to cut us off. Now, that being said, though, that does not mean that, you know, we just can go sin, okay? Because we can be however we want. We can do whatever we want. Hey, God's not going to cut us off. Okay, no, but you can cut yourself off from God. Okay, his holy, righteous light fears nothing, retracts from nothing. But, you know, if you're full of the dark of sin, you will not want to get into God's holy light. It's like, have you ever gone to a theater to watch a bargain matinee in the middle of the day? You guys done that? Middle of the day, right? And then you sit there in the darkness of the theater for 2 hours, and then you walk outside? Oh, I remember doing that. And what happens? Oh, man. It hurts. It's painful, right? Oh, let me go back in the theater. Let me wait a while before I come out. You do not want to approach the light of the sun. And that's the same thing. If we have sin in our life, you will not want to go and approach the holy light of God. It's painful. You will shrink back from him. So we need to make sure that we get rid of the sin in our life, and then we can approach God just as who you are. And he's not going to cut you off. You're going to see how good he is. That's completing love. And then the last part of the arc is to extend love. Let's look at verses 19 to 21. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. All right, let's take a look here at verse 20. And what we have here is what's called a prominent word order. Prominent simply means something that stands out or sticks out for emphasis. And a Greek writer or a Greek speaker in this time, obviously, you know, to highlight something, they didn't have what we have, sit at their Mac and PC and highlight it, stick in a little emoticon there, anything like that. To do emphasis, they would use a different word order from the usual word order. So if you could look at the Greek manuscript, you would see that this order is different. So let me read verse 20 to you in the order that it is in the Greek manuscript. It would be like this. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen, God whom he has not seen, he cannot love. Right? Now, all the versions smooth it out for you because that sounds awkward. But actually, in the original text, that's the original word order to get the reader to listen and look at that, to have that stick out. And what John is emphasizing, trying to make prominent, is that if you cannot love your brother whom you can see, you absolutely cannot love God whom you can. Now, maybe you disagree with John. You say, actually, for me, it's easier for me to love God than my brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, God is so good. He provides for me. He takes care of me. He sent His Son to die on the cross for me. But some of my brothers and sisters in Christ, oh, you don't know how irritating this sister is in my small group. Oh, she talks all the time. She monopolizes the conversation. It's always about her stuff. I can't stand that woman. No way. It's just so hard to love her. I think it's easier to love God than it is my brothers and sisters. Actually, all right, you're loving the idea of God and not necessarily the reality of God. Now, what's the difference between the idea of something and the reality of something? I think we all love the idea of working out. Right, don't you? I absolutely love the idea of working out. I think it's one of the greatest ideas ever. But do I love the reality of working out? Okay, I think my answer. Right? Here's my answer. Okay, I just kind of sort of think it's all right, the idea, all right, in reality. But I love it in, you know, the concept of it, the idea of it. And so it is oftentimes, you know, with God. We might love the idea of Him, but we don't love Him for real in our relationship. That's much harder. So what happens? God has our brothers and sisters here who are in His image, right? Genesis 1:27, we are all made in the image of God. So we're little image bearers of God in heaven. But of course, we're flawed reflections, right? We have all these chinks, imperfections, all this. If we condition ourselves and train ourselves to love our brothers and sisters and that image of God in them, in spite of these little imperfections and problems that they have, then when it comes to God, we can love Him for real in spite of our perceived imperfections of God. Now, we all know that God doesn't have any imperfections, but oftentimes we think He does, right? In our own thinking, sometimes God isn't cool, doesn't do what we really want Him to do. Sometimes He's wrong, right? Oh, Lord, I prayed so hard for Stanford to win the big game, Lord. I prayed so hard, but why did you let Cal win? Why did you let Cal win, Lord? Well, you know, Pastor Josh here was praying for Cal. You know, praying so hard, you know. Oh, why did you have to pass? Right? I mean, we think, and we start thinking funny things like that. Or, Lord, why did you give me such an awful husband? Oh, he's so insensitive. He's so self-centered. Oh, he doesn't do what he says he's going to do. He's so irresponsible, Lord. Why did you give me such a clod for a husband? Why, Lord, why? We blame the Lord for it. You see how sometimes our thinking is funny? Well, hey, that person that we really cared about in our family, they got cancer. Oh, we prayed so hard for them. This person was the godliest person that we knew. And they were praying. All these people were praying. The whole church was praying. But yet, they still passed on. Why, Lord? Why did you take them away? It's hard to love God in those times, isn't it? But see, that's reality. That's reality. That God doesn't do everything that we want or say, even though we think it's so right. But as we train ourselves to love our brothers and sisters in spite of their imperfections, we'll still be able to love God when He doesn't do things or come through or act the way we think He should. It's extending love. And when we do that, we keep loving God as we keep loving our brothers and sisters. again here in verse 20, that's also present tense. That completes the cycle of love. To extend that love to your brothers and sisters, then you can also keep loving God. And I told you about when I was 25, I was so far away from God. Well, praise God, I started to come back to Him. And it all started when, I'd been working at this company. It was a terrible job. It was long hours, low pay. And yes, I admit, I was working at a Chinese company. it was absolutely the worst. And I remember taking a break during the weekends. I would go help out at my mom's deli. They're over there in San Francisco. And one day after I finished helping out in the deli, I mean, I was so dissatisfied with my life, so empty. I finally took stock of where I was at. And I said, what do I really have in my life? And I realized I have Christ. And that's enough. I have Christ. And that's enough. I don't need all these other things. I don't need to be a big businessman. I don't need to make billions, millions of dollars. I have Jesus. That's enough. Did you know once I said that, that peace and that fire and that love for God came back. I started to experience again that love that I first had when I first received Christ into my heart. And then I started to grow and approach God, to start to really be who I was before Him, that completing that love, that second part of that cycle. And I remember having such a good time with God. Here I was at that, Chinese company that I was at, finally taking a break. And I would sit outside of the office building and just soak up the sun. And it felt so good. But even better, with the rays of the Son of God shining in my heart now, warming me up. Because, again, He was the most important thing in my life. I had such a good time with God. I would tell God jokes. Stuff. I don't know if the Lord laughed because He probably knew. I mean, He knew the punchlines already. But I had such a great time with Him. But I hit a potential snag in the cycle of love. Extending that love to others. Because there was a group of sisters that I had a very hard time forgiving. This group of sisters was 1 year younger than me. And our church there, we had a graded fellowship system, all these different grades. And they were 1 year younger than we were. And I didn't like them. Because frankly, they didn't like me or my brothers. They would not go out with us. Right? They said, you guys aren't spiritual enough for us. I said, okay. So, we had asked them out before and everything like that. They turned us all down. So I said, fine, move on. But they always still had that attitude, very wary whenever we were around. They wouldn't talk to us, and they blacklisted us. And so I got really tired of that. So, I would just ignore them. But, I knew that wasn't right. And so I went at this retreat. And that retreat was awesome because there the Lord really spoke to me. And that's when I decided to go into the ministry, to go to seminary and get training. And, such a high, I'm in the love of God. And He's just, wonderful. And you know what? I'm even going to love these sisters in the Lord. I saw one of them walking out of the mess hall of the retreat. The mess hall is where you eat, right? And there's nobody else around. And I saw one of these sisters walking toward me. I was walking toward her. And, I'm going to show her the Lord's love. That I appreciate it. And just as I was getting ready to say hi, my foot landed on this rock. And completely twisted. And I buckled over. I turned around, flopped on the ground. Ugh. And she turned around and walked away. I got so mad, I went to yell at the top of my lungs, "May you never ever have another date again in your life." I was so upset. Ugh. I mean, I couldn't believe that. I would think even some pagan, moon-worshipping woman, you know, would have, "Hey, how are you? Are you okay? You can try to help me out. What's going on?" I could not figure out. The only thing that I could think of why she would do that was maybe she thought I was faking it. Right? You know, oh, there goes my ankle. Oh, my ankle. Oh, my leg. Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. Thanks for asking. What are you doing next Saturday? I mean, well, how could it be? I mean, But you know, the Lord really challenged me that I needed to love and to forgive her. So I called her up. I said, "Hey, you know, I was really upset, you know, that when I sprained my ankle, you just, you know, walked away, didn't say anything. But you know what? I forgive you, and you're still my sister. I still love you." And you know what she said? "I didn't see you." Yeah, of course, what else is she going to say, right? She's going to say face, right? "Oh, walk away from you, hurt, injured, never." You know, but I was thinking to myself, well, you know, maybe you didn't see me, but did you hear me when I was screaming in pain? But you know what? I just let it go. I let it go. And I said, "Hey, you know, I hope that, you know, we can just be good brothers and sisters." And you know, because I was willing to extend that love, to get back on the cycle of love, my love for God grew even more, and my love for the whole group of the sisters, all my brothers and sisters grew. And so during the choir retreat, choir tour that we had, I wrote down the names of every single choir tour member, and I wrote down their prayer requests, and I prayed for them, including many of these sisters in this fellowship group. And so God was just filling me with more and more of Himself and His love. It was so interesting, but you know, as this was going on, one of the sisters in that fellowship, she actually called me up to ask me out. And I turned her down. No, okay, these are just because I was busy. And then we went out later and everything. But what happened, maybe that'll be for another sermon. Okay, but it was really amazing what God did with me because I got on a cycle of love. And maybe that's what you need to do, to get tuned in again to the music of God, get dialed in to the right channel. And that is the cycle of love. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for your words that reminds us how much you love us, how much you care. We praise you, Jesus. We just want to be who we are before you and embrace you again. Thank you that we can just let go of ourselves before you and touch us. And Jesus, help us, forgive us, because we find it so hard to love those who are made in your image. But we know, Lord, if we're going to truly love you for real, we need to love them too. I pray for my brothers and sisters that you can help us do that. In Jesus' name, amen.